So, Nat, when was the last time you had chocolate cake at 6:30 in the morning in bed?
I don't think there's ever been a time, TC.
Okay. It's not the sort of thing you'd do on your birthday.
Well, I feel like there's a gesture coming. I mean, it's not till September the 20th, but do send it through.
Okay. Because it was my birthday.
Oh, Tom, I missed your birthday.
Oh, it's my birthday today. I was born.
It's not your birthday today.
Yes, it's my birthday today.
You are kidding me.
Oh, and God, I was born.
Sorry. No. Wait, stop. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Hey, that's good. That's really good, Pinks. But yeah, that was happening at 6:30 this morning. The kids brought chocolate cake in.
Dude, I cannot believe I forgot didn't know it was your birthday.
As my mother told me once, she said, when it's your birthday, act surprised and enjoy the attention.
Oh. Well, you're going to get a lot of that over the next 40 minutes or so on your 57th birthday.
Well, look, should we get on with the show?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, off you go.
Hello and a very warm welcome to F1 Nation with me, Natalie Pinkham, and the birthday boy himself is Mr. Tom Clarkson. How are you, TC? What have you been doing in the build-up to the big day?
Well, not very much. It's a lay week from Formula One, isn't it? There's no on-track action, but as ever with our great sport, Pinks, there's always a few things cooking along, aren't there? And I loved the video that Mercedes put out on Tuesday about the wheel being undone. It was great, wasn't it?
Unbelievable that in this hugely technically advanced sport, we've got a case where, you know, these multiple world champions take until 10 a.m., 9:59 to be precise, to get the wheel off a car.
I know. And that poor mechanic who'd had the drama on that front right has been living with that for 48 hours of the flight home. It must have been awful for him.
So stressful, but not as bad as it was for Valtteri Bottas, who had to sit there with that sinking feeling that every second that passed, so did a place in the race. And then ultimately, he was done.
Yeah.
He was out.
Yeah.
Poor chap. He's had a lot of bad luck, hasn't he?
He certainly had a lot of bad luck. Another man who's had a lot of bad luck in his career, actually, is someone I spoke to on Wednesday last week, Rubens Barrichello. I had a catch up with him. You remember him having to hand over first places to his teammate and all that kind of thing back in the day. But Rubens is in cracking form now, actually.
He was lovely man.
Oh, and he was in Monaco last weekend supporting his boy Eduardo, who was racing in Formula Regional. And back in Sao Paulo, he was showing me round his helmet collection. And it's a hell of a collection. And of course, Senna's helmet, pride of place. It was. It's funny that guys like Rubens, even now, get emotional just talking about Senna all these years later. But to actually see a helmet that Senna used. And this helmet swap thing is a bit of a thing in Formula One now, isn't it? Because we saw it with George Russell and Fernando Alonso last weekend, didn't we?
That was a lovely moment, wasn't it?
What did Fernando write on George's helmet? You're a future world champion.
Just don't nick my place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, keep out of Alpine.
A sad week, though, Tom. A sad week, I have to say. A shocking week for those inside the sport. Now, many of you listening won't know Thomas Bonnacarrere, but he was, I can't believe I'm referring to him in the past tense, one of our beloved cameramen. And he died very suddenly earlier this week. And just want to say thoughts and prayers very much with his family and friends. And I know many people in the paddock were incredibly close to him. I knew him not well, but every kind of interaction I ever had with him was always positive. Just had such a lovely energy, didn't he?
He certainly did. And he was working the Monaco Grand Prix weekend. In fact, Formula One put out a lovely tweet just of 30 seconds or so of some of the footage that he took during the race on Sunday as a tribute. But he was a lovely man, and our condolences to his friends and family. A huge loss to the sport.
Well, Tom, we've got a great show coming up, including two very special guests, the Alpine reserve driver, Danny Kvyat, and the Alfa Romeo boss, Fred Vasseur, also celebrating his birthday today.
Also celebrating his birthday, clearly a great man for that. And a former flatmate, Pinks, of Toto Wolff.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, in Oxford. They've shacked up together in the past. So, and they're big mates, Fred and Toto.
That's great. That's great.
So look forward to speaking to them.
And I'm looking forward to Baku, because I know many would assume that given it's a street circuit, we may get a very similar race to that of Monaco, processional. But it's anything but, isn't it? Because it has this glorious long straight and more opportunities to overtake. Very windy, so difficult for the drivers to manage their cars around there. And a few risks need to be taken, but not too many because the walls are close. And it's just stunning around this ancient city.
Oh, it's gorgeous, Pinks. It's one of my favourite races of the year, actually. And yeah, you're right. It's going to be the polar opposite of Monaco. Do you remember back in 2016, the first race there, the support race, the Formula 2 race that year, carnage, chaos. Accidents everywhere you looked. And so the Formula One race, everyone was really well behaved.
Yeah. And well, I have to say, I don't really remember it because I was actually giving birth when it was on 2016. I was actually giving birth. I remember giving birth, asking how the baby was, and then asking the results of the race.
Oh my, that's amazing.
What a keynote.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the excitement of the F2 race that brought on the...
Yeah, broke my waters. Yeah. And then who can forget the drama since? I mean, 2017 was equally chaotic and exciting, arguably the best race of the year. Vettel ramming into the side of Hamilton deliberately after accusing him of brake checking him under the safety car.
What was it like in the pen after that 2017 race?
Was I giving birth that year as well? I feel like I've been giving birth a lot around this time of year. No, I was back for 2017. I mean, yeah, crazy times. I remember Daniel winning the race for Red Bull and Hamilton having the loose headrest. I mean, all sorts of crazy things happened, yeah, didn't it?
It was mad. And Lance Stroll finishing on the podium. Do you remember? His first season in Formula One.
But being overtaken at the very last moment by Valtteri Bottas. Yeah. Otherwise, he'd have got P2.
2018 as well, with the two Red Bulls ramming into each other. It just attracts drama. It attracts drama in this place. And as you said, when we started talking about it, it's that long, long straight. Back in 2016, Valtteri Bottas, I said this stat last week, I'm going to say it again, 378 kilometers an hour on a street circuit, Pinks. I mean, it's madness, so fast.
And the third longest circuit on the calendar after... obviously Spa, but also Jeddah, which we haven't been to yet.
That's good knowledge.
It's 6 kilometres long, so there's plenty of opportunity.
Yeah, and in fact, the wind that you mentioned is a real factor because it's right on the edge of the Caspian Sea. There's nothing to stop those winds coming in, and the cars are really sensitive this year. I think all the Williams guys, for example, are going to be very nervous about the wind.
Of course, because after Bahrain, they were pretty vulnerable to it there.
Yeah, so lots to look forward to. And I don't know, where would you put your money?
Well, I'm going to say Red Bull, because from what I've heard, they just go in as slight favourites. It's just a hunch.
It's that Formula One in 2021 is that close, folks. It's all on a hunch.
One thing that's occurred to me, Tom, throughout 2021 is that however much you analyze, and my goodness, don't we love to analyze, you always come away without real clarity as to who's in front. So ultimately, I have to say, go with gut feeling.
And that's Red Bull for you. It'll be
for me, it is. Yeah,
it'll be fascinating to see how Mercedes bounce back after last weekend, because it was just, as Lewis said after the race to you, it was just a messy weekend for them, wasn't it? They just never got it going. One of the strengths of their car on a track like Barcelona is that it doesn't use its tyres that hard. And so, but on a smooth circuit like Baku, a street circuit, I think that could penalise them again. So going with hunches, I think I'm with you. I think it might be Red Bull. But then, of course, is everyone going to protest after the race because of this flexi wing drama? I don't know.
I think what will be fascinating, Tom, is who takes their Monaco experience and uses it to their advantage. Will Red Bull build on that momentum, build on that great feeling? Their mojo is back. They are at the top of the championship, both the constructors and the drivers, for the first time in a very long time. Or will Mercedes show their class as they have done time and time again and bounce back with a vengeance and come out fighting.
And this is a huge weekend for Sergio Perez because he's always gone really, really well in Baku. It's his track. Do you remember he's had podiums there? He almost qualified on the front row but had a penalty. So he'll be looking at this weekend thinking, okay, I know I'm fast here. And hopefully that'll give him the confidence he needs to really, you know, get the maximum out of the car. And can you imagine a Red Bull front row? Lock out the front row, leave Mercedes behind you and extend that lead in the championship. I actually think that's what we need because Mercedes will come back at the more conventional racetracks. I'm sure they're going to be strong. So actually for this 23 race war that we're experiencing at the minute, I think we need Red Bull to really open a bit of a gap now.
Yeah, no, good point. By the way, talking about crazy Baku moments, do you remember when George Russell went over the thingy and sucked it out of the ground?
Oh, the manhole cover. The manhole cover. Yes, 2019.
And then the recovery vehicle bashed into the bridge. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It seems weird stuff happens in Baku. And Leclerc having that shunt at the castle section, he got the lap record in 2019, looked rapid there. So actually, you can't rule out Ferrari either, can you?
I don't think we can discount Ferrari pinks. You're right. And but also there's radio madness as well. Do you remember Grosjean crashing behind the safety car and blaming Ericsson? And Ericsson was nowhere near on the track.
And that meme ran and ran, didn't it? We got great value out of that one.
Yeah, there's something in the water in Baku. But so anyway, folks listening at home, prepare for a dramatic weekend in Baku. It can't not be, can it?
Expect the unexpected. Daniel Kvyat is in the waiting room. Shall we bring him in?
Be rude not to, Pinks. Can you hear us, Danny?
Hey, how are you? Good to see you.
Good morning. Oh, how are you?
All good, and yourself?
All good. You got to say happy birthday to Tom. It's his birthday today.
Ah, Tom, happy birthday.
Thanks, Danny.
And Danny, I know that you've got a guitar. Have you brought it to Paris?
No, I don't bring it everywhere with me. I don't bring it to everywhere, but we can sing together.
Should we
sing? Natalie.
Please. How about Russian? Can we do it in Russian?
Let's do it in English. He's English. Let's understand. Make him understand.
Any language will do. Any language will do.
How do you say happy birthday in Russian?
С днём рождения.
С днём рождения.
Oh, not bad. Good job, Natasha.
Tom, Danny always calls me Natasha because they don't have Natalies in Russia. Natasha.
Danny, I thought that was an embarrassing moment where I was going to have to say, no, Dan, she's not actually called.
No, it's a stupid long story where I had this Russian skating partner on Dancing on Ice.
I said,
how do you think it's going? How do you think my skating's going? We've been working together for 6 weeks now. And he said, Natasha. I went, oh, it's actually Natalie. So he was, whatever. I was like, it's going well. I said, do you think it's going well? He goes, Natasha, lifting you? It's like lifting octopus. I was like a jumper in a washing machine.
Danny, it's great to see you. Thanks for your time. Now, Nat and I have just been talking all things Baku. Tell us about the track. What do we got to look forward to?
I always found it a very fascinating track, to be honest. Since year one in 2016, when we arrived there, we all thought, wow, this track looks like something unique, you know. It stands out, extremely long straight, very twisty middle sector, and very narrow corners. It's an extremely unique track, I think, and it's very exciting to drive on. So yeah, it can provide also extremely good racing. So it's something to be excited about for sure.
I know that you would be more excited if you were driving it this weekend. I know that that's going to be frustrating for you, but how is your role going at Alpine? How busy are you?
Yeah, of course. Also, Baku, you know, it was a track that suited me. I remember always was one of the best tracks for me, actually. Always very strong pace. But yeah, of course, not racing, it's kind of frustrating in a way, especially watching the others race, especially ex-colleagues whom I've been beating in the past. But, you know, this is the sport the way it is. There are 20 places. And this year, my role is different. And honestly, I'm actually enjoying it because I can contribute to the team in a different way. Also, from outside, of course, this work is not seen so much by everyone else outside. But we also tested some next year's tires in Barcelona a couple of weeks ago. It was all very useful and interesting. It was super cool to get back in the car again. So yeah, you know, simulator work as well. I do my job, you know, in the best way possible. I give my best to the team, and it's always interesting to contribute it, even if it's in a slightly different way.
There's so many things I want to ask you about from what you've just said. Can we start with that 2022 tyre test in Barcelona? What are they like? Can you actually just give us some intel? Are those tyres good? Are we going to have good racing next year?
You know, I do think tyres is like the answer to everything. And I think at this stage, the tyres are still being defined, the compounds, the structure of the tyres. So I don't think what I tested was the final, you know, version of it. And it's a bit hard to also tell the difference because, of course, the car is slightly modified to adapt for those wheels. And it's a car I've never driven before from 3 years ago. So the feeling was positive in general. I think hopefully it's. I think it will be a combination, you know, of new rules, aerodynamic rules that will come next year. That's a lot of hope on those rules because the problem now is to follow other cars, no? So I think that will make the biggest difference. Then the different tires. It's hard to say exactly why they're being introduced. Maybe it's a better question to Pirelli. Maybe there is something road cars related also because they're more. Realistically, they're more towards road cars, no? The size of them, at least.
Danny, as much as I know you're thrilled to talk about Pirelli compounds, I know you'd prefer to talk about boxing. So can we just get this big fight sorted out? What is going on with the Fury-AJ fight? Because now he's got to fight Wilder again.
Hang on. Can I interrupt you? Why are you asking Danny Kvyat about that fight?
There's nothing he doesn't know about
boxing. I'm not a promoter, huh? I'm not the promoter of the fight.
Yeah, but what do you think is going to happen now? If he doesn't get past Wilder, how are we going to get the fight we all want?
Well, then it's going to be an interesting fight against Wilder, you know. They're all interesting fights, you know. They're the best guys of their category and they're going to go head-to-head, so... Whatever fight we get, it's going to be super interesting to watch, I think. The first fight between Fury and Wilder was extremely close. Second one, I think Fury took the edge, and now Wilder is super hungry by the sound of it. So, and that guy looks dangerous. I mean, you know, you can't, you can never write him off. So it's, I wouldn't mind seeing it again.
Welcome to Formula One's boxing podcast.
TC, have you ever seen Danny sparring? It's something to behold.
No, but I have seen you. I remember, yeah. Pinks, I remember walking into the gym in China, I guess, what, 5 years ago? And you were beating the crap out of someone.
Probably Danny.
Me? Yeah.
You were... No, was it Danny? Wasn't it? I don't know what it's Danny. So I remember going, oh, that's a little bit frightening. Are you...
5 years ago.
It's about 5 years ago. Tell me about your love of boxing, if that's what we're talking about, Danny. What is it about you and boxing?
Well, I just like it. You know, there are some sports that make you, you know, like they take you in different space and you enjoy whenever you do it. Like I used to do a lot of running, maybe cycling, swimming, but it never really gives a spark, no? But boxing does, you know, whenever I go in a boxing ring, it puts me in a good dimension, you know, different dimension. And I really... like there, like the rest of the world is a little bit gone and I'm just focused there and I just enjoy it, you know. I like doing regular work just as a training. It's very good also for our sport because it's a lot of endurance, it's a lot of shoulder endurance muscles and we all need that, you know. Plus, if you enjoy it, why not doing it more? Then I always want to find out how far I can go in any sport I do. So I always try to do more, but not unfortunately, but now I reach the level where to make next steps, you need to train really, really hard, you know, like it's a lot of work, that sport. It's much more physical than Formula One, let's say.
Would you ever go into have a proper boxing fight against someone?
Yeah. I really want to put him up against someone else in the paddock.
Ooh.
So who would you like to take on?
Who do you not like, Danny?
Why colleagues? Why colleagues straight away? Maybe
it's just got to be one of the other drivers. I mean,
why not go a bit level higher? I don't know. Let's let the fantasy fly.
In fairness, Tom, he knows he would smash anyone else in the paddock. I mean, my money is on you every day of the week.
Who's been talking shit about me?
I reckon Valtteri would give you a run for your money.
But Valtteri is like...
Valtteri? No, come on.
No, come on.
Go on then. I mean, Who would give you a good fight?
Just give me anybody. I don't care. Anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. You need to go and have a look on Danny's Instagram. He is so quick and strong. You love it, don't you? You've grown up with it. What is it about Russians with boxing? Is it something that you are taught from school age?
Yeah, it's just, they wouldn't say a national sport, but yeah, many of guys, the schools are very advanced. Many people end up there. And yeah, it's very popular in Russia. It's just, I don't know, something in the nation that people like about this sport. You know, boxing, also MMA is growing massively in Russia. So, but the MMA is a bit too much for me, to be honest.
Hey, Danny, did you spar with Conor McGregor?
No, we didn't spar. No, I watched him train. I tried to see what he does. I was lucky enough to be in the same gym there. And there's always a big entourage around him. You know, it's hard to be around, but he was nice enough to stop by, talk a bit, make some pictures, ask some questions about F1. I asked him some questions about MMA and his next fight. And yeah, he is very, very nice guy, to be honest, like very open, you know, very easy to chat with. And yeah, when you see him train, you're like, I wouldn't like to spar him.
No, he's unbelievable.
We've hit on it, Pinks. If we're UFC type thing, it's got to be Dan Ricciardo.
Yeah, I know.
So me and him.
That's the fight that the fans want to see.
Not even one round with him.
Listen to this.
This is good chat. But I think we ought to bring it back a little bit in the direction of Formula One, Pinks, don't you?
Let's trash talk F1 instead, yeah. Tell us about the season so far, what you make of it all.
I think it's interesting, you know, in every area, in front, at the back, in the middle. Obviously, it's last year of the current regulations, so everybody is very narrow. The engine's performance finally seems like it's extremely close between everybody. And yeah, so we see some close racing also at the top, finally, you know, a very narrow championship fight. It's very interesting to see. So hopefully it will carry on. Like also in 2017, I think, was a very close season between Ferrari and Mercedes. Now it's again against Red Bull and Mercedes. So yeah, let's see how far, who will move forward. You know, there will be a point, I think, in the season when somebody will start having an upper hand.
Who's your money on?
Hard to say. I mean, historically, if you look at it's Mercedes, you know, they always find something, you know, in the middle of the season, suddenly, bam, they find some updates and they start flying again. Plus, Monaco, you know, has always been a weak track for them. But Red Bull looks just genuinely a bit like a quicker car since the first race. So it's a bit different this year. Many times it seems like it's genuine pace, the advantage.
And do you share the popular view that Baku will suit Red Bull slightly better than Mercedes?
Tough to say. They're very different characteristics, Baku and Monaco. People think it's similar tracks. No, they're not, because Monaco is the extremely high downforce. Baku is probably around Monza downforce. The tarmac can be very tricky. You know, the tire behavior is very unpredictable there. Me, myself, I remember sometimes you expect graining of the rears, but then suddenly you get the graining of the fronts. It can be very unpredictable there. So yeah, they are quite different. I cannot tell now exactly who would be quicker.
I think what you need in Baku is a really effective flexi rear wing, isn't it?
Do you know anyone that's got one?
I don't know. That's the I'll be honest with you, I'm not following so much the gossip around the paddock anymore like I used to. But if it's the topic, it might be that there will be some heated discussions also outside the track soon, because it seems like everybody's getting a bit vocal about this thing. I don't know what it is really. I actually don't even know how it works exactly, but it seems like everybody's pretty excited about it. And I think somebody might do some action outside the track.
Well, let's talk Alpine and your role there.
One thing I'm quite interested to know, Danny, is the dynamic between the drivers within a team. When you've got someone like Fernando, who's obviously hugely established and experienced, you know, a proven world champion, come back into the sport, in fact, with Ocon, who sort of maybe struggled for form, certainly this early start of last year, but kind of came good throughout the year. And then you, who actually had a great season and you've got all the experience in the world. How do you kind of discuss and share data to take the team forward whilst always pursuing your own career?
Well, I mean, you know, my job is clear there. There are two main drivers who are racing in the team. And of course, the team will mainly listen to them. Of course, my job is to do whatever opportunity comes, like doing the test a couple of weeks ago, to do my best in that test and provide as good feedback as I can. And it helps me to integrate inside the team also. Of course, team, they know that I'm hungry, an experienced driver also. And yeah, of course, the guys also, Esteban has a lot of experience. Fernando has a huge amount of experience also. So, of course, the main feedback comes always from them because they are driving the current car. They know very well the setup tools they've got. And this is the dynamics of the team, you know, and both guys have to find what sort of suits them in the car to drive it as fast as possible in quali and in the race. And it's a constant process, you know, and it also depends track to track.
Now, you've been in this situation before, haven't you? Back in 2018, you went to Ferrari and did a lot of their sim work. Helmut then gave you a call, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
What chance Helmut giving you another call, do you think?
I think he's dying to give me a call. But I think this time the pride might be in the way because already last time it was a bit like admitting the mistake, no? And yeah, but you know, my eyes are wide open. My ears also are open. And to be honest, I'm quite flexible. I enjoy my work at Alpine right now. I'm giving my best always to the team that I'm with. And right now I'm focused on that. And I enjoy the atmosphere in the team. You know, they're very interesting guys, very hardcore racing team, you know, and all the sessions I've attended to on the race weekends and in the testing sessions, they all work like a clock, you know, very organized, very, very solid group of people. So it will be interesting. I think this team has a huge potential for the future. So right now it would be only fair to say that I give my best to Alpine in whatever role I'm in.
And could you slot back in at a moment's notice? How quickly do drivers get a bit rusty or, you know, perhaps lose their edge slightly if they haven't been racing week in, week out?
For me, it's almost like I race better after a holiday. So for me, it's actually good. To be honest, when I jumped in the car in Barcelona, I was thinking slightly, okay, how it will feel. But to be honest, it felt like I never really left the cockpit, just physically, of course. Barcelona is tough on your neck. Of course, you feel these things like it will take 1 or 2 days to adjust for that. But other than that, in terms of feeling with the car, the setup, the performance and pushing the car to the limit, like it's always going to be in me. So I definitely wouldn't be worried about like jumping in the car anytime. You know, I'm confident pre-practice 1, pre-practice 2, and I should already be on the kind of 95% of my ability. And then Saturday, let's say you push this, you squeeze this extra 5%, you know, race is just a matter of just finding the rhythm. Of course, it's not like it's super easy. It's not ideal, but this is my job, you know, always to be ready also.
Well, we saw that with Hülkenberg last year, didn't we? Do you find yourself, Danny, looking at the COVID results, the pre-event COVID results very carefully for each race? Just in case there's another Perez situation.
This is my job. This is why I need to always be in shape. I always need to be sharp and stay hungry, is in case the team might need me for that. So, of course, I'm ready always. And then Friday, Saturday, you can relax, you know, already. So, but no, I'm not like thinking, oh, okay, I want this to happen. No, I honestly... you could never wish this to anyone. You are just there doing your job with the team, and that's it. You know, you need to know your role. You need to know your place there. You know.
Quick question from me, Danny: is Fernando Alonso, is he as good as he always was?
Oh Jesus! I mean, I've never been teammates with Fernando. First of all, I think it's very hard to judge for me. But he's an exceptional driver. You know. His results, his curriculum talks for itself. But yeah, for sure, this year, it's not that easy for him. And he himself admits it, you know. But it takes very small things to turn around. One race, two races that suddenly he will understand something, click with the car, click with the setup. Suddenly, everyone will forget his difficult start to the year. I know this is a topic that's easy to spark now, but I think he's been through a rough patch. But things can change very fast in F1.
Well, look, you are a great asset to the sport. The paddock is a better place when you're in it. So I really hope that you can get another full-time drive very soon.
Thank you very much.
Great stuff. Thanks, Danny. Great to speak to you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Natalie.
Natasha.
Natasha.
Hang on, folks. Fred Vasseur is in the waiting room now. Fred, come on in.
How you doing? Hi, Natalie.
It's a birthday bonanza. Fred, happy birthday. It's also Tom's birthday.
Yeah, I know.
There's been quite a build-up to this one, hasn't there, Fred? And you know that we share a birthday with Kylie Minogue.
Ah, super.
Do you have similar rhythm to Kylie Minogue, Fred?
Yeah, I could test.
Hey, Fred, so how have you been celebrating today?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Let's wait for tonight.
What's happening tonight? Have you got any plans?
No, tonight I will have the family. I'm more than pleased to be able to share some time with the family. It's not very often. And then I will have tomorrow to celebrate it with the friends.
Well, you can definitely raise a glass after your Monaco performance. How pleased were you with that? Finally get that elusive point. Congratulations.
Thank you. We are improving step by step. I was a bit frustrated with the fact that we didn't score points on the first races, but I hope now that we will be back and much more often.
And Giovinazzi, Fred, he seems to have come into his own this year. He's, 4-1 ahead of Kimi in qualifying. It's as if something's clicked. That's at least what it looks like from the outside. Can you give us any insight?
Yeah, that it's quite similar, mainly if you consider that the Imola was a strange quali for Antonio. He was locked by Mazepin in the last corner, that he didn't do the lap. But at the end of the day, we are scoring points on Sunday. And Kimi is always doing good races on Sunday, and I hope that he will be able to quali in a better position, because when you have to start from 15-16 with no DNF, it's very difficult to score points. That perhaps that Baku will be a different story for sure. But on some tracks that where it's quite difficult to overtake or impossible to overtake when you are starting from P16, that it's just impossible to do it. For sure, with Kimi, we need to improve a little bit in quali and also to have two cars and we could play a game with the strategy and so that. But I think that I'm quite happy with the job done over the last couple of months, that compared to last year, we did a good step forward and we closed the gap with the midfield. To have one car in Q3 was the target, but it's the target on every single Saturday, not one time per season. and now we have to score points much more often. But I think that we have also to appreciate the job done.
Do you have a clear idea where you are in terms of pace in the pecking order?
It's difficult because it's also a bit track related. I think that with Ferrari, we did a step forward in Monaco, and it's probably also linked to the layout of the track. It will be probably a bit more difficult for us in Baku next week, but let's enjoy Monaco, that we will think about Baku later on. Know that every single weekend now we are in the fight, at least on the race with Alpine and Aston Martin, and this is a decent step forward if you consider that these two teams, they were fighting for podiums on the last part of last year. I know it's not enough. I want to get more, but I have also to appreciate the job done and the effort made by the team over the last months and in a tough situation. Because that we had to develop the car last year under the COVID restrictions. And now let's see Baku. Baku was a good one for Antonio. Was always a good one for Antonio that he did pole position and two wins in F2.
You say, Fred, that you're going to be less competitive in Baku than you were in Monaco.
I didn't say that we will be less competitive. But I said that with Ferrari, clearly, we made a step forward in Monaco, and Baku will be probably a bit more difficult.
Yeah, Tom, don't put words in his mouth. Go on.
Well, I'm not pessimistic. Don't start like this.
Fred, there's one thing I wanted to ask you about Formula 2, if I may, because this guy, Teo Pourchaire, both Nats and I have one foot in the Formula 2 camp as well as Formula 1, and he won age 17 in Monaco last weekend for ART. How good is this guy? Is he the next big up-and-coming driver?
I hope so, first. As he's under contract with Sauber, I hope so. But honestly, it's a bit too early to take this kind of conclusion. That for sure, he did very well the last two or three seasons. If you consider that he won the F4 2 years ago, then he did the step to the F3. I was not really convinced that for me, the step was quite high between F4 and F3. But he was really pushy and I said, okay, that it's your decision. Let's go for it. And in F3, he was very close to win the championship. He was leading the championships two laps before the end in Mugello. He lost the title for 2 or 3 points. And then finishing P2, it's difficult to stay in F3. It's okay, let's go in F2. But at 17, it's quite tough. And from the beginning, he's very impressive. And not only in Monaco, but particularly in Monaco, because I was not expecting a huge result in Monaco. It was the first time for him in Monaco, and he had to, around him on the grid, that guys with, for some of them, with 4 or 5 times in Monaco. And you know the story with the F2, you don't have so many laps in free practice, and then you have 15 or 16 minutes in quali. It's probably 2 times to push, and he did the pole position for half a second. And then even in the race management, I think he was very clever. He pushed the first couple of laps, then he managed, then he pushed again when it was the pit stop area. Then he managed at the end that he did a mega job. Now, this is behind us, and the most important will be the next one. And he has to keep the feet on the ground and to try to continue like this. But
if he wins the title... Would you take
if
is F1 backwards, isn't it? But if he wins the title, would you take the risk on him?
If he wins in the title, he won't do F2 again. He's not allowed by the regulation. And for sure that in this case, I think it will be the first time to have someone after 3 or 4 seasons in single seater winning the F2 as a rookie. You remember the rookies who won the championship was Charles, was Nico Hülkenberg, was Nico Rosberg, was Lewis before George Russell. I don't know if he was a rookie. Yeah, he was. That for sure, it's a mega target, but we are not there. He won one race so far.
Yeah, but would you take the risk on him in Formula One?
I love the risk.
You love the risk. Okay.
Well, Fred, listen, have a great birthday. Enjoy the celebrations. You thoroughly deserve them. And we'll look forward to your performance in Baku.
Thank you.
Well done, Fred. Thank you for your time.
Happy birthday, Tom. Huh? Enjoy.
Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Well, Pinks, wasn't it great to have those two guys on the show?
Yeah, lovely blokes. Do you know, that's what I love about podcasts as well. They give people the opportunity to open up a little bit more.
It's time.
When you've got 2 minutes chat with them on air at a racetrack. So, yeah, great to see their personalities. And talking of podcast guests, I'm interviewing Richard Branson later today for my own podcast, In the Pink. And I'm going to ask him loads of questions about his time in Formula One. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, crikey. 2009. What a year that was. Because the Virgin decals were on that Braun that Jensen won the title with, wasn't it? So, in fact, he came to a few races that year. Let's hope he remembers all the drama and the excitement. And gosh, wow. Good luck with that.
Thank you. And how about you? When are you off to Baku?
So I'm off to Baku on Tuesday. Charter flight. Thank goodness, because if you try and fly commercially, it's very difficult and you end up going through every red-listed country in the world. So, yeah, it's a charter straight from Heathrow to Baku on Tuesday.
That's interesting because the last time I went to Baku, they said to me, right, you can fly charter straight home or you can go via somewhere in the Middle East, which obviously sounds ridiculous. At the time, though, they offered me business class and it meant I could sleep for 8 hours and I took it. Because I knew
young
that
children.
I'd come straight back to the kids and I wouldn't get sleep for a number of weeks after that. So I got on the plane, had this little glass of wine and I passed out. It was glorious. I basically flew and slept through the night and landed back in Heathrow many, many hours later, far longer than I needed to be in the air.
I'm feeling much fresher, yeah.
Oh, I felt great.
No, I'm on the charter, Pinks, and very much looking forward to it. It's going to be a cracking weekend.
Great stuff. Well, thank you for your company, Tom. It's lovely to see you. Enjoy the rest of your birthday.
Yeah, more chocolate cake for me, Pinks. In fact, if you did see me in Baku, I think I'll be a lot fatter. Anyway, Pinks, I think it's time to end the show, isn't it?
I hate goodbyes.
Only a week to wait. And we've got Damon back next week as well. So look after yourself.
Get the band back together. Yeah, thank you very much. Look after yourself too. And we will see you guys very soon.
Go on then, let's end it. We know that line now, don't we?
F1 Nation is produced by F1 in association with Audioboom.
Boom. We got it right. See ya.